we go. Oh, baby, welcome to Duck It Motherfucking Dialogue.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Going hard here. Here we go. Oh, baby, welcome to Duck It Motherfucking Dialogue.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Going hard here.
All right, guys, I'm sitting here with one of my most badass mofo friends here, Steve Weed, business owner. Lives out in Colorado, been doing his own thing for a long time. His father was a business owner as well in the same field. He does video work, video production, live streaming, stuff like that. Good to have you here, bro.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm stoked. I saw the show before. I've always been wanting to get on, and now here I am.
Oh, shit, he's on. So, dude, you got a pretty interesting background going on. I know people aren't going to be able to see this, but behind him he has like these vinyl records set up, and they have is one like have a clock face on it?
Yeah. So shout out to Monkey Pat Chirico. He runs Records by Monkey down in Brooklyn, New York. He's from Watertown, and yeah, he creates these different pieces of art and different household items. You know, like notebooks and all sorts of different things, all from repurposed materials, primarily from vinyl records. So yeah, the one up there. It's a clock, and they're all actual records. So like if you flip them over and look at them, you know, you can see which record it is, and you can request specific records and they can try to seek them out for you. And it's a pretty cool business, and it's all like homegrown from the ground up in New York City. So it's somebody that we know from upstate that is just killing it.
No shit. So, does he have a website or anything? Or
yeah, I think it's Records by Monkey. I mean, if you Google that, it's Records with a W. So Records by Monkey. It'll pop up. They do like the Brooklyn Flea and a bunch of stuff, and he's doing some other new projects now as well. But yeah, he's the man. Monkey's the man.
I'll have to plug that into the description when we put it out there, because that's
yeah,
pretty cool.
For sure. Yeah, that is awesome. He's doing great.
Dude, I had no idea about that. And they look sick. I'll have to put some pictures up there too.
Yeah, it's really quality stuff, and it's totally unique. I mean, you really can't. You're just not going to find this stuff anywhere else.
Dude, so you're out in Colorado right now.
Yeah, how long have you been out there? I got here fall of 2016, and then I've just been in the Springs since then.
And then what brought you out there? Because you were living up in New York, and then start your own thing while you were here in Watertown, or were you working with your dad mostly?
I was working with my dad mostly, and then it just kind of got to the point where, you know, I really just was getting the feeling of like wanting to expand and like do more than just what upstate kind of had to offer. And it's not that upstate is a bad place to be or anything like that, but just for the video production realm, it's like, you know, if you want to get to the bigger gigs, you got to go to where they are, you know, bigger cities, bigger areas, you know. So it just kind of so happened. We looked at Texas, we looked at California, and like Colorado kind of just happened to be the right place. It was the Goldilocks zone, you know. It wasn't too expensive at the time, and the weather was good, and it was an up and coming city, and I was able to come out here. I didn't work for 4 months, 4 or 5 months, really. I was just doing everything for free, sending emails and doing demos. And then I just got a couple little breaks, and one thing led to another, and it kind of snowballed. So now I'm a well-oiled machine, I feel like. And we're still at that bubble point where it's like, you know, I'm still a one-man band, but you know, I'm doing pretty good. So I'm at that point where I'm almost ready to get help. COVID really kind of threw a wrench in all of that. So it's much more complicated now to like expand and like add people to the team.
Yeah.
But Colorado's been really, really good to me for business, for sure.
So when you first went out there, I think this is something important that we can expand on a little bit. You said you're doing a lot of work for free, because I was doing that as well when we were in Florida. And that's super important when you're first starting out, is to get out there as much as possible. If you're wanting to do photography or videography or something, get out there and start making videos, start taking photos of people. And then eventually you can start, you know, charging for that service. But how long did it take before you felt comfortable, you know, hey, I got to charge you for this? What was your like first, you know, gig out there?
Yeah. So actually the first paying gig that I really had was a music video that a buddy of mine, Mike Bohm, he was in a band at the time, and he lived in Watertown for a bit, and he lives in the Springs now. He's been here for a little bit, but he hired me to do his band's music video for a contest submission that they were doing. And they paid me $700, and I shot this music video. I had all these cameras set up, and it was pretty elaborate. Excuse me. And you can see it on the website, but that was the first
one. SteveWeedMedia.com.
thieveweedmedia.com. Okay. So yeah, you can go there and you can still see it. It should still be up. But that was the first one where it's like, I've done something local now. Cause everything was like my dad's business in New York. It, none of it applied. None of it was applicable out here. They're like, so what have you been doing? And it's like, oh, there's no experience here. So after that, it was just, like I say, I was really just sending emails and being like, let me work my way up from the bottom. I have all this gear. I have these skills and I'm willing to like do the grunt work to work my way up. And my first big break was, I emailed CC, Colorado College. They're a D1 school. It's comparable to like St. Lawrence University back home. And I just emailed them and was like, hey, I want to just see what I can do. And I was emailing everybody. I was emailing like all the other colleges and everybody. And they just happened to be in the market for a guy to produce. So I went to the office and they kind of put me on the spot and was like, well, this is the equipment we have. Turn it on. So I went and I did a whole dry run right in front of the AD on the spot and like solved a few other issues that they had been working on right there. And they were just like, all right, the season starts in 3 weeks. And then it kind of went from there. So then now, you know, last season I was producing all of the Jumbotron content in the Broadmoor Arena where the D1 hockey team plays.
Okay.
All of their press conferences, all of the in-game content, producing the game itself for NCHC.TV, which is a paid subscription, Division One, and our division is one of the most competitive in the country. We have numerous national champions in our division, like Denver, North Dakota, Western Michigan. I mean, it's super competitive in the collegiate hockey ranks. But you know, the majority of what you're seeing and experiencing on the visual level and on the stream, especially, is all through me. So I'm solving and I'm producing all of this content that was usually spread out between a few different people that they're vending, you know, so it was just slowly working my way. And as they're feeding me more stuff, I'm just crushing it.
I need to get paid more.
Well, and I mean, it was just one of those things where I wasn't dropping the ball, you know, and it's everybody that I work with. A lot of my clients will say, well, I feel like you're just part of the team. I feel like you're an employee. You're not just like a guy that we're hiring.
Yeah.
You know, I so easily mesh with my clients and just try to do the best I can. And it really just comes down to working hard. It's like doing all the extra work and all the little things where it's like, yeah, I'm not getting paid for all this stuff. But like, when you look back, it's like, well, who's doing this? Well, Steve did it. Who's producing that? Steve did it, you know? Yep. And I'm working myself into a position that's like very difficult to replace. Everybody's replaceable, but you know, it's, you're having to replace me with a lot of people or like somebody that does very similar to what I'm doing, which is rare. You know, it's just my background allowed me to do it. So very fortunate to have them as one of my main clients and continuing on this year, hopefully, if COVID will allow.
And how long have you been with them doing that?
So this was 2017 was my first season with CC. And yeah, it just, like I said, the first season was just streaming. Then it was doing like all the behind the scenes stuff with the players. And then we were doing, you know, different videos and promo videos for the college and you know, it kind of expanded and they were kind of leaning on me for a bunch of different things, you know, just their kind of go-to video guy for all different stuff, which is a great role to be in. And they're amazing to work with. I'm super, super fortunate and thankful to have them. I love working with CC. And there's a lot of other good clients that I have, which is what I love about doing what I do. It's I'm doing CC, but then I work with the AFE, which takes me to Cancun twice last year and Virginia Beach twice last year and all over the place.
What's AFE, you said?
Yeah, AFE. So that's the American Football Events, USA All-Stars. So they're a nonprofit all-star football organization that uses football as their vehicle to do good things for the communities that they visit. So for example, we go to Cancun, for example, and we go and spend time with the CRIT, which is a children's rehabilitation center in Cancun. So, you know, but we have a bowl game. We play like a Mexican football team while we're there. So like I say, we're using football. We're having practices. We're doing community work. We're having meetings, the camaraderie that's built. But it's all based around doing community service, giving back to the community and, you know, building up character in the players and not just your, you know, your football talent, which is what I love about the organization. And they brought me in and I've been working with them for 3 years too. So 2017 and just going all over the place. They've taken me to Mexico 4 or 5 times, a bunch of different places in the States.
Yeah.
And so everybody should check them out. You know, you can go to AmericanFootballEvents.com and check out their organization and watch the videos that I've produced for them. But very, very fortunate to have these clients. And it's all through networking. You know,
That's huge. That's so huge.
Yeah, for sure.
So what, you know, you were working all those events for free. What kind of made you stick with it and you know, keep going at it and keep, what made you not quit?
Well, I mean, I think the one thing to stress is that, you know, when I came to the Springs, I had never visited. We mm-hmm. had, we only knew a couple of people here. Her aunt lives here, but that's it. We had no friends here, never had been here. So we just kind of drove out here. So our backs were against the wall.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, well, what made you do it? It's like, we had to do it. We yeah. had to make it work, or else I was just going to pick up a job at like Starbucks or any, yeah. anywhere that would hire me at that point. You know, I was looking at window washing positions at one point, because it's like, well, while I'm doing this and trying to make this work, I can't just flounder. I can't just, yeah. you know, I'm too far from home to like make this happen. But it was just picking up little things, you know, just like $50 here, $100 there, yeah. just doing little videographer work, you know, just anything that would pay. Like, you know, you go on Craigslist. Craigslist was my saving grace for the first year that I was here.
Okay.
I was getting 75% of my gigs through Craigslist.
See, and that's important to kind of touch on too, is
yeah.
all these different platforms and ways for people to get clients. You know, I think too many people just kind of put something out there, and it's not targeted. It's not, you know, instead of like you're actively searching for gigs. You know.
Yeah. I mean, 75% of my day at that time was like spent looking for work. It was just yeah. sending emails, signing up for all the different things, and then checking it two or three times a day. Like it was obnoxious, really. I mean, it was like, you just don't know when the thing's going to pop up. And in the freelance world, you just, if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah.
Bobby,
someone will pick it right up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so you really got to be like checking it obsessively all the time to make sure. And then you got to submit, and there's never any guarantees, and all the different things that come with freelance gigs, like getting paid. Sometimes it's a net 30, where it's like you did a corporate client, but they pay once a month.
Yeah.
Every 30 days. And it's like, you did it 3 weeks ago, but your rent was due,
yeah.
you know? So it's balancing all of those different things and the stresses that come with it. And then the family life and like doing all of yeah. that. And I'm doing it all out of the house. You know, it's like all of the money that I've made has been without a studio.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's another thing for people to think about, is like, especially in today's world with COVID and like remote streaming and exactly what we're doing here today.
Yeah.
Technology is making it possible. And for my business, especially, like things are going to start booming. People are really going to start taking advantage of the services that I've been pushing on them for the last 10 years. Like, hey, stream your event. We don't need to stream our event. We can go do it in person. Why would we stream it? Now you have to stream
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Now they're like,
by force, you know, it took a global pandemic, but by force, you know, people are now understanding the value of live streaming. And
yeah.
I've been busy. This last week, I just did the Small Business Development Center of Pikes Peak Region, their whole weekly events. So we did 6 remote streams in 5 days. We did an award ceremony with 30 people on it through Zoom, but we okay. built up the production quality. We'd shot a bunch of videos and I produced all of it. And it was something that was seen nationwide. One of Pikes Peak Region Small Business Week is one of the biggest in the nation. Okay. So it's definitely, it was a challenging week, but we made it through and everything was a success.
So the whole thing was virtual?
The whole thing was virtual because okay. it got canceled in May because of COVID. So they had to decide, are we going to cancel the event or are we going to try to pivot? Pivot was like the key word throughout this whole
yeah.
thing. Constantly pivoting and like moving and changing and adjusting.
Yeah.
So they contacted me the end of June. Hey, Steve, is this something you're interested in? Can you do it? And they put all their eggs in my basket and we made it happen and it worked. And it worked really, really well. So now I've got a bunch of believers, you know, people are seeing yeah. this thing work. You know, the award ceremony that we produced had almost 30 people involved. And I'm like in the Zoom and I'm pulling people in and out of the waiting room and producing the event on the side. So like the commercials okay. are rolling and we built it all. So like a lot of it's huh. covered and it looks really seamless.
And that's all you doing all that. You don't have anyone else helping you do any of the work in the equipment or okay.
No. And so like through remote streaming, you're able to kind of do these things. And if you get creative with the equipment that you have, which is the value that I have, is I own all my gear, you know, I mean, you can only do so much with a laptop. It takes a little bit more than just that. But
yeah,
I mean, it was a really great experience. And yeah, just anybody that's listening, I mean, I guess the moral of the story is to just continue and push on. And you just never know what you can do with what you have. I mean, utilize the tools. A laptop can go a really long way, especially with everything being done from home.
Yeah, dude, of course. Like, and like you said, especially with this, the pandemic, like people are discovering the value of what you're offering and people are doing it on, you know, there's so much more being streamed online now.
Kids
are streaming on school.
Yeah. I mean,
content, crazy.
Content consumption has increased like 800%. from this time last year. And just there's statistics out there that you can look up where it's just like, of course, and it's all kind of common sense. Like, of course we're streaming Netflix 8 hours a day now because we're all at home. You know, I mean, it really isn't, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, the fact of the matter is that that's the statistic now. It's like, well, people are streaming this much more, so it's that much more valuable. So it's a great space to be in. And Facebook is now letting you do the pay-per-view thing. I tried to launch my own pay-per-view streaming company during the pandemic when it first started, and it flopped. Yeah. Still working on it. It's called Firecast.
But I saw that. Yeah, so you're still going at it? What's kind of holding it up?
Well, I mean, not to like put the water on my own fire here, but like Facebook 2 days before I launched announced that they were doing the same thing. They're allowing people, and it's out now. I mean, so anybody that's out there listening, go sign up. I mean, you'd be dumb not to. You can do pay-per-view events. It's all seamless right through Facebook. I mean, you know, do I compete? How do I compete with that?
Yeah. So they kind of,
but the idea was there. I mean, so that, yeah. You know, what I take away from that is like, I was on to something big, you know, like this was something.
If you would have just had it a couple, you know, a little bit sooner.
A year early, you know, or like I just, at that point, you don't really know. And like pay-per-view live streaming wasn't a thing, you know, people were still doing in-person events. But now, I mean, hell, if you're somebody in the entertainment industry and you're still worried about selling in-person tickets, you're going about it wrong. I mean, you could sell 10,000 virtual tickets or 100,000 virtual tickets if you're marketing it right. Why wouldn't you? You know, like forget people coming and seeing you in person, sell that virtual ticket and make the money. I mean, it's great to have a crowd. You got to have that. But
yeah,
I mean, it shouldn't be the focus of making the money, the profit. Yeah, I think the profit margin should be focused on selling virtual tickets worldwide. You know, millions of people could see. You still have your in-person crowd, but that shouldn't be your only source of revenue, you know?
Yeah, especially adding that to it. It just adds to the whole
thing. It's free money. It's another revenue stream that's just kind of there. It's like you're a band and you're at the concert and you're selling tickets or whatever. And then why not just stream it and sell virtual tickets too? I mean, it's just, I don't know. But it's still kind of like breaking that stigma of like, well, I got to have people show up and I've got to sell merch. And
yeah,
man, do all that online.
You know? So with your streams, you said, you know, it's difficult with just a laptop. What kind of equipment are you using to do these live streams?
Yeah. So, I mean, really it's all PC based, but it's just having the right PC components, you know, good video cards, good processing power, that kind of thing. Being up to date. I mean, just a lot of people like try to do remote stuff. They'll have like 10 tabs open on their browser or they're like, they got like other software going, just little things like that to optimize what you do already have. But, and it's just research. So I've been using, it's called NDI, Network Device. It's maybe interface. I'm not sure. Somebody's probably gonna hear this and laugh. It's like he doesn't even know. it's connecting the two. So it's like taking your laptop and then another PC and then connecting it through just your basic network. So like being on the same internet connection, but then it allows the devices to talk. So I'm able to like get Zoom on my laptop, but then use my production PC for all my graphics and like all my cool videos. Okay. And then we stream it through my platform and integrating it that way and just utilizing the things that are coming out now and just it's constantly evolving and changing stuff that like my dad and I used to talk about 10 years ago where it's like, how cool would it be if we could just like sync these two together without any cables? And it's like, now I'm getting feeds from across the country. It doesn't even matter where they are. And it's all working the same as if they're right in front of me. You know, I mean, when you start to look at it like that, I mean, it really kind of gets the wheels cranking where it's like, wow, what is really possible with this stuff? What can we really do? You know? So it's an exciting time right now for the industry that I'm in.
Yeah, dude. So business owner, you moved to Colorado, started your own thing. What are some tips, I guess, you can give to somebody that is thinking about opening their own business or starting their own business? What like number one step, what do you do first?
Number one step. I mean, and honestly, everybody take this with a grain of salt because things are so different. I mean, we're all learning now. As I just said to Susie, it's like, if we had came here now, it'd be almost impossible to start a business. Yeah. I mean, it's so much more difficult to do what I did now in today's environment. But if you're out there and you're like, man, I want to start my own thing. The first thing you should do is take the right steps, start a business, get incorporated or whatever. If you're a sole proprietor, just go through the steps of like make sure your business is legit. Don't cut corners with like your taxes and stuff. Just like do it by the books. I mean, you're only going to make a little bit of money. You're not going to get hammered in taxes. So just don't cut corners. Like that's just it's just dumb early on, you know, just do it the right way. And then just make sure your website is up. I mean, it's amazing to me how many people start a business and it's like, I don't have a website, or like my website is terrible. It's like, it's so easy to create a plug and play. And like, I know you were in the website space for a while and creating things. So, I mean, you know, better than anybody, it's like, you don't need something crazy. You just need something that works and is clean, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But just get a good
website. There's so many options out there now for anyone to build a website, but I mean, you can get it for cheap in respect to how expensive it was before to get your own website built. So
absolutely. And I guess the other thing would be to just focus on one thing. Don't for example, it's like, focus on video production and live streaming. Don't go out there and try to do photography and do all these other things that I probably have the equipment to do. Just focus on one thing that you're really, really good at and do it really, really good. And then that's going to grow. Yeah. And then you'll be able to branch off later. But if you're just solely trying to make money and support yourself, like, I can proudly say that I never had to get a job out here. Like, I've
got
100 years now.
Yeah.
Money in the bank, a little bit, you know, I mean, I've been saving and the business is going. I mean, I'm buying equipment, I'm growing, you know, at a slow pace, but it's something that I'm proud of. You know, it's one thing to just work for somebody for a year and make a salary. Yeah. It's another thing to go and get it. I'm going and getting this work and producing it and keeping the clients happy and all the other stuff that goes with it.
Exactly.
So it's definitely a grind. It's not for everybody. I mean, it really isn't. There's times where I wish I had a salary gig somewhere and just like, I don't want to worry about it. I want to be off when I'm off. I don't want off days. That small business week almost killed me, dude. It was a full month of just no days off, on call every day. It's just multiple Zoom meetings a day and just every single day through the weekend and editing and just emails. And it's a grind, dude. And the Zoom fatigue is real. Like, people got to take breaks, and it's hard to do when you're at home to like make yourself get up, where normally you're working at a job and it's like, you get a break. They're like, go take a break. You have 1 hour, go take a break. It's like, when you're at home, it's like, you could sit there for 10 hours and never even move.
I know.
You have to like mentally recharge. And I think, dude, people have to like, if there's one thing you could take away, it's like, you have to, the self-care right now, like, there is nobody else that's going to help you self-care. It's like, you are at home, you're with your family, like, you have to self-care more than like your employer, which would normally be like, let's do a work retreat, or like, here's a free lunch, or the little things that you used to get from like your employer. Now you have to do for yourself. You have to go and take care of yourself. And I'm super guilty of it. The last month, it was just like, I had the opportunities and just, I let work consume me, and it's not healthy, and it's so easy to do.
I know. You can, especially sitting up working on the computer, you'll sit there for hours and hours and not realize how long you've been sitting there editing for sure.
Yeah. I mean, just anything that you do from home, whether it be, you know, just Zoom calls for your work or just typing on the computer or just anything. I mean, just, you just got to get outside and like get the blood flowing and just do something, you know. And I've been trying to work on that because it's just so easy to sit there and just get super, super efficient work done. I mean, you crush it, but at what cost, you know? Yeah. I mean, it really isn't worth what you're doing to yourself.
Yeah. So I think too,
and it's not sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. It isn't, because you'll get burnt out quick. So you need to have that, you know, that downtime. Yeah. And then like what you said earlier, with the for like being targeted with your approach and what you're offering.
Yeah.
So early on when we started, we were trying to do everything for, you know, everyone, like photo, video, every, you know, whatever, just kind of throw our services at the wall and hope it sticks to somebody. And then, you know, it wasn't until we really started going after people, looking at, you know, certain businesses that might need something and targeting them with emails or going on, like you said, Craigslist and stuff like that. And actually going after very specific jobs. So it was, you know, that transition kind of helped a lot in, you know, getting business.
Yeah, so definitely.
It's very important.
Well, I mean, and if, you know, you got to think about it from the client standpoint, where it's like, if you have somebody approaching and it's like, hey, I do photo, video, website. And it's like, well, hold on. Like, I mean, and you're one guy, like, Jesus, you know, like, how good are you? You know, I mean, to a certain point, I feel it can almost be damaging, you know?
So, yeah, exactly.
I've really just been focusing on the live streaming as of late. You know, I mean, I'm still doing video production work for sure, but I mean, my energy is like, I need to get another computer. I need to get more gear. I need to be able to do more remote stuff and expand that whole operation, because this isn't going away anytime soon. I mean, until there's a vaccine or something where like the majority of business owners feel okay to let their employees back, this remote streaming stuff is going to be the norm. So they're going to need people like me to like take care of it if they don't want to. It's the equivalency of like an oil change. It's like anybody can do their own oil change, right? Anybody can produce their own remote stream too. But why don't they? Why do they hire somebody like me? It's convenience. It's professionalism. It's all the things you take your car in to get your oil change for, you know, yep. Convenience. So, you know, that's always going to be there. So there's always going to be a need for that. You know, there's going to be clients that don't need it too, and that's fine. But just everybody's using it. And that's, I think the point is like, it's here to stay for a while. So yeah. How do you make money and how do you utilize it and get the most bang for your buck? Especially if you're a client, you know, if you're a customer, it's like, how do I get the most out of my live stream?
Yeah.
And I think that's where a good producer comes into play. Like they're going to help you get the most out of it.
So you're also, you said you're looking to expand pretty soon, get employees and stuff like that. How would you go about adding a payroll to the, you know, cost of doing business and to your clients? Are you going to have to increase prices? How do you envision all that working?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not even sure. I mean, there's times where I feel like I could hire 5 people, and then there's times where I'm, you know, just enough for me, you know?
Yeah.
I think eventually it is a combination of the two. I think it's how do we most efficient, and then how do we also start to charge more or like get the higher paying clients?
Yeah.
I think looking at federal contracts and like the big, big fish is something that where, you know, if you get one federal contract for the year, you could probably do a bunch of small local contracts cheaper. Based off of just your success from the higher paying gig or like the recurring gig where it's like, we got a 5-year gig where it's like, we can depend on this money. The big problem from a financial standpoint that I have is just, there's no certainty. There's no, at least I don't have yet something where it's like, even the stuff that I depended on now in the past is like all up in the air with sports and sports is my huge bread and butter where it's like, I'm crushing it without sports. And which is a terrifying but awesome thing.
Yeah, you
know, yeah, where it's like, holy crap.
Than what you were doing the whole time.
Yeah, up until, you know, 3 months ago, like, you know, corporate videography and like corporate remote streaming really wasn't my big bread and butter. It was like sports broadcasting and like video production. And, you know, now it's starting to like move towards like the remote streaming and that whole thing. And, you know, so as far as like from the financials, it's like, I think you just have to really take that leap. And I think you have to start low. I think you have to get somebody that understands the level you're at. It's like, we don't have a backer. We don't have investments. It's like, I'm 100% self-funded. Everything is out of pocket. Like if I buy something, it's like from my personal bank account, you know, like there is no like, here's your budget for the year. You know, like if I buy a $2,000 piece of equipment, like it hurts, you know, and it's just, I have to be like confident that I'm going to make my money back with
it.
You know what I mean? So you have to get somebody like a college student or an intern where it's like, I'm ready to work very cheap because I want the experience. I like what you do. And that's hard to come by because the quality that you get is iffy.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, there's definitely pros and cons.
Have you looked into interns? Have you thought about doing that?
Honestly, like this was all something that I was really gung-ho about before COVID. Like, and then COVID came and now it's like, I really just don't know what the future holds. And I don't want to burn somebody either. I don't want to get somebody all pumped up, have a few good months and then be like, dude, it's slow. COVID's ramping back up or whatever, you know? And it's like, I'm sorry, you're fired, you know? And like, you're off doing your own thing now. I don't want to do that to somebody either. Cause I've been, you know, like I've been in those positions in the past where like, when I first moved here, I was like applying to positions just because I was, you know, like I said, I was looking at everything and it's like, if somebody had done that to me, I would have been super upset and burned, you know, like I would have been screwed. So it's that thing too, where I want to be cautious. I want to make sure like when I'm ready to do it, I'm ready. But like I said, there's times where it's like, I need help, you know, like I need help and I don't have it and I get through it, but it's always tough, you know, and it's a grind, man. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's been really cool watching you grow because you moved out there and I saw all the stuff you were creating, all the content you're putting out there. You did some of those skateboard streams too,
right?
What was that? That was pretty cool. Where was that?
How do I not even mention that? Like that was in San Diego. So
what was it called?
Well, the first two I did were called Exposure. So that was an all women's skateboard competition. And that benefited Carol's House, which is a domestic violence charity. It was a big fundraiser in San Diego. Well, technically Encinitas, those ones. So I was fortunate enough through John O'Schwan, which in Colorado Springs, he ran the Rocky Mountain Rampage, which I guess really you could call like my first big gig. He hired me when I had nothing else. I owe Jono a lot. I don't know if he ever will hear this. I owe you big. So like, please like, let me know if you ever need anything. Cause you have so he hired me to do the Rocky Mountain Rampage, which was a a 3-day skateboarding event here in the Springs. Like, pros were here, Andy McDonald, Sandro Diaz. Like, it was a pretty big event, and we streamed it. We produced it. I can't believe that he...
Were you doing that one by yourself? Because that was a pretty big event. Okay.
So I had hire. So like I had to hire bring. So like I brought some friends down, but the people that I met there, Amelia Brodka and Alec, they were like, hey, we do this thing called Exposure in San Diego. You should come out and like stream our event. So I was like, okay, I totally will. And they called me and they actually got a hold of me, and you submit the proposal and you get approved. And so you fly out and you do the site survey and you take your measurements and the whole process. And so we did that in 2017. And then they brought me back in 2018. And then this past year I did the Clash in Claremont, which I've got to say is like my dream come
true. What was it? Can you say that again?
The Clash at Claremont.
Okay.
This is in San Diego, Claremont, California. I mean, like, it's beautiful. It's 2 miles from the beach. And so Tony Hawk, Andy McDonald, Elliot Sloan. I mean, just the list is incredible of people that were there. Just big, big names. Christian Hosoi. Legends, like absolute legends were there, man. And I produced the whole thing 8 hours straight. We had the skater cross course, the vert ramp. Dude, Mike Vallely was there with his band Black Flag shredding on the side of the bowl. Dude, it was just an epic, epic day of just like mayhem and craziness. And I got to stream the whole thing. And I got to bring my boy Nick LaGorga and Mike Joles.
There you go. Shout out.
So I got to bring them out there. I got to pay them. Yep. I got paid. It was, you know, it's just a great experience. It's like, that is the dragon that I'm going to chase for a long time.
Yeah.
Until I pray they bring me back next year. COVID canceled the event for this year.
Were you scheduled to go do it this year?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can only assume that I would have been there, but it was just, there was too much going on to even know for sure. But
gotcha.
What month does it usually happen? September. So it was coming up. So, I mean, this time last year I was out there, you know, like taking measurements and just planning for the event and just, you know, it all starts a couple months early for these big things, but we streamed for 8 hours and it was a hot day in September in California. So it was super hot. It was just, you know, 1800 feet of cable that we had to run. You know, you fly all the gear out there, you have the whole logistics of like the crew and the flight and just all the expense, you know, thousands of dollars you have to put up front to make sure that you cover your bases before you even get any of your money back. I mean, so there's stresses that go along with that. You know, I mean, there's just, but then you do it and you complete it. And then at the end, they're like, you did everything you need to do. Yep. You checked all the marks for all the sponsors. Yep. Dude, we're good to go.
Good to go. So,
I mean, then you get the pat on the back and it's like, you know, you get to meet these people. You know, Andy McDonald, and I didn't get to meet Tony, unfortunately, but it's just one of those things where it's like so surreal. Guys I used to watch back in the 90s, the X Games, it's like they're like high-fiving me, like, nice work, you know? And it's just like, holy crap, I just can't even believe this is happening, you know? So it was just a dream come true. I'm just so, so thankful to even have done that. And if I get to do it again, awesome. I'd love another crack at it because I'd see what I did and there's improvements to be made for sure. You know, just you do it once, you just don't know. And there's so much. I mean, that kind of event, there's just so many moving parts and people. I mean, there's a crowd and dude, the skater cross. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's basically like downhill slalom on skateboards.
Okay. Huge. No, I never even heard of it.
Starts with like a 30-foot ramp. You go down this ramp and then you have like this big jump and they're doing like a high jump. So like this dude's doing 360s over like a 12-foot bar and dude, it's just crazy, man. And then you go around a course. So it's basically a race. I mean, there is no like tricks. You drop in, you race, first one to the finish line wins, and it's a single elimination. You go down until somebody finally wins the whole thing. So it's super gnarly, dude. That video is on the website, steveweedmedia.com. Everybody check it out, dude. I mean, it's pretty gnarly. I'm super proud of it. I mean, not necessarily the video itself, but just the fact that like we produced it.
Nick and Joles at that event as well.
Okay. And Cyrus, there's another guy, Cyrus. And, you know, thank you to Chris and Charlie that hired me from out there. It was just great meeting everybody from the industry. I mean, we had sponsors like AAA NYC, Vans, you know, we had Red Bull. We had a bunch of big, big names that were like sending me commercials because we're producing this event. And
no shit.
Yeah, it was super cool, man. I mean, Doritos and just a bunch of like West Coast brands. And it was just awesome. It was really, really cool. Bone Bearings, Bones Loves Milk. it was just super cool, man.
So that first event, the big event you did, what was that guy's name you said?
John O'Schwan, and that was the Rocky Mountain Rampage.
So how did you meet him? How did that whole thing come about?
I was just emailing everybody I could, gotcha. And I learned about this event previously, and I was like, holy crap, this thing's coming up in a few months. So I emailed him, just was like, hey, I just want to become a part of it. This was one where I was like, I don't even want to get paid. Like, I love skateboarding. I just want to, like, I just moved here. I just want to do something, like meet some people.
So that one was in Colorado. Okay.
And it was in Colorado. Okay. So then I sat down and, you know, with his dad, actually made coffee, and he was like, so wait, you own a TriCaster? You own, they're bringing a crew from St. Louis to do this. They're like, man, we got to like fly these guys out and put them up at hotels. I'm like, man, I'm 10 minutes up the road. I've got everything to do this. So they,
oh,
talked,
wow,
it over. They talked it over as a board, and they're like, hey, if you can do this, then let's do it. And we did it. And again, that's how the whole thing kind of snowballed, where it's like, you put your name out there doing that, people see it. I mean, and that was, yeah, one where like we had our logo on the half pipe on this big banner thing.
Oh,
like,
what?
Jono did me a solid, man. We are just a small logo, but I was on there. I was on there, yeah, with like big sponsors like City of Colorado Springs and like all these other names.
That's,
and
cool,
just seeing my logo on this stuff. And the same for Clash. Like, they put me on the banner for Clash, where it's like, wow, I'm like right next to, I don't know, I'm going to look. I mean, I'm like right next to all these different big Cliff Bar and like Patagonia, and I'm like, there's Steve Weed Media, and I'm like, wow, this isn't right.
That's cool.
I'm very, very lucky,
dude. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's
hard work goes a long way, man.
Yeah, and it takes a long time for that to really come to fruition. You got to put in a lot of hours and a lot of sweat and a lot of no and a lot of failure, and just, you got to keep going. And that's the thing, dude. Is it's not for everybody, like you said. It's a grind. And
yeah,
it, you know, is, when you're working for yourself, you're constantly working. You're, you know, especially doing live streaming, video, stuff like that. You're always editing. You're always doing something in the background. You're always, you know, going over your bills. It never ends. So
yeah.
But
yeah, and I got to thank my dad big time, because like you mentioned failure, it's like he was the one that allowed me to fail in all his paying gigs when I was, okay, growing up. And like, you know, the experience, you know, like I'm 3 years out here, but I'm 15 years total, 18 years total. You know, I mean, when you look at my experience from back in New York too. So, I mean, this isn't something that like you said, it took a lot of time and a lot, yeah, of years of like knowledge and like, you know, like you said, messing things up. Fortunately, I had him to like bring me in and like let me screw his stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, as bad as it is to say, because I was basically an intern for a number of years working for him.
Yeah.
Where to now I get out here where it's like I'm making less mistakes because I made them on his time. Which is,
no, yeah,
which is terrible, but I got, so thank you, Dad, for like letting me do that. Cause I think of some of the stuff that I pulled on him and I'm like, dude, I would have fired that person.
That's funny.
But you're, you know, 20 years old, you know, you're 21 years, yeah, old, and you're like, you're trying to like navigate college and like working for your pops and doing, yeah, all this stuff and trying to be professional, but like still have like a college life and like be a young person in America. And yeah.
So working with your dad, at what point did you always know you wanted to do your own thing with video, or when did that kind of manifest?
Well, I kind of always just assumed I would just take over,
gotcha, the
business. So it never really, it just, you know, right around that time, you know, I got married and just so many things were changing and just life happens, man. And you kind of, yeah, just, you feel it coming on, you know, and it's like, I felt a change kind of being needed. And I wasn't sure exactly even what it was at the time, but it's like, man, I got to do something. Like and in Watertown, dude, I was giving away. I was like hitting people like, hey, I want to do something. I just want to do something for free. Like, let's just do something. And just, yeah, lip service, or like, yeah, we'll do something. And you kick the can down the road and you kind of get that like upstate, you know, that upstate, yeah, feeling, you know, yeah, and it's like, are we gonna do something for free or not? I mean, yeah, here you get the exact opposite feeling. It's like, you go, 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 and they go, go, go with,
yeah,
you. And they like,
so you
actually
found it hard to get people in motion up here, like
when, absolutely,
doing any projects. And okay, gotcha. So were you doing stuff for businesses, or was it just like more personal stuff that, you know, helping people with?
I mean, it was all business related stuff that I was working with.
Oh, really? Dad, and they still would kick around.
Well, a lot of the personal, the ideas that I was shooting by people were like personal ideas, but it's still just, you know, and then you try to get businesses to do things where it's like,
yeah,
you know, we struggled to get high school sports, where it's like, we want to stream high school sports.
Gotcha.
And we couldn't ever really get anybody to like fully latch on. Now my dad's got NBC Watertown that is like doing all the the live streaming. So finally, and this was before COVID.
Yeah.
So finally he's got somebody, but this was years later, you know, yeah. where it's like, they finally are like, wow, we can monetize this and like sell advertising and like, just like TV. And it's like,
So, I think it's new to everyone. It's still pretty new to a lot of people and a lot of businesses. And I think they don't understand that you can make it like TV. Because when I first had you stream that Freedom Fest we did,
oh man, that was
2018.
Yeah.
What was it? 2019?
18, yeah.
When you streamed that, I was like, you know, blown away about how, I mean, you can put ads in there, like legit ad breaks. You can put all sorts of graphics. And I didn't know you could do that with a live stream.
Yeah, that was a fun one too. I mean, and I don't even, do you remember the whole travel situation that like my flight got canceled and then we had to come a day late? Oh my God. And we still pulled it off.
You got there like an hour before the event started or something.
Yeah,
like
dude. Oh my God. Like I just think back, like, how did we even, oh my God. I didn't even change from the, I was like wearing sweat shorts. like wearing sweat shorts that I wore on the plane. And like, I was like, dude, all I need to remember, I was like, I need a cup of coffee. That's all I wanted was a cup of coffee.
Oh yeah. Yep,
Starbucks,
yep.
Bro.
Yo, give me coffee, a large I'm coffee. Good.
Yep. Oh man. That was a fun night, dude.
Yeah.
I left my towel down there. My Snoop Dogg towel. So I don't know. I don't know if he's listening, but if he's going to listen, like, yo, mail me my Snoop Dogg towel back if you can. He was a good host, man. What was his name? I totally forgot his name.
Which one?
The dude that we stayed with.
Oh, Seth.
Seth.
Okay. Yep.
Oh my God. I left it at Seth's mom's house.
Dude, yeah, whatever. We were at his mom. It's grandma's house, actually.
Grandma's house. Yes.
And then
well, we were supposed to stay in the camper. I don't even know if that story's fit for air, dude.
Oh yeah, no, it was bad. So
he
didn't like empty the septic out or something, and someone went in there to pee. And who was sleeping?
It was me. I like almost died.
Sleeping. Yes, you were sleeping.
I was so tired because of the jet lag and everything. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning by the time we like left like the dock, and I was just like passed out. And then like Ian Waterbury or somebody ran in and was like, dude, you gotta get out of here. And then as soon as I woke up, I was like, oh my God, what is happening? And like disoriented and like partially drunk. You're like, oh my God.
Man, like, what a someone's night. Still sleeping in there. Get him out.
Dude, thank God somebody got me. Like, I don't even know if I would have made it through like the methane. And,
oh,
like,
dude. Yeah, it
dude,
was bad.
That thing got shaken up and it was bad news. Oh.
Just one person took a pee and it flooded the whole
thing. Oh my God. What a night that was.
Oh, it was fun though. And
it was.
Because we didn't know what the turnout was going to be like. We had been pushing it hard to everybody that we knew. And we only had sold maybe 10 tickets or something, pre-sale tickets. And then people started showing up and we had a couple hundred people there.
I wonder what the live stream did. I'd have to look back. Check the numbers. I wonder what we got for viewership. I think we did good.
Yeah.
I remember one of the comedians at the after party thing was like, man, how many views did we get? And he was all stoked on it. I think it did good.
It was sweet. And then we did that other one. And good thing you weren't able to make it to that one. That one flopped hard. Well, hey, That'd be a COVID stream right now.
Oh my God, dude.
It was a COVID event pre-COVID.
Hey, that event though got me through May of 2018. Like that was a dry period for me, bro.
Oh,
like,
really?
That event like kept me afloat for a month. So
no shit.
I appreciate it, man. I mean, that's the stuff that you keep to yourself at the time, but like that was one where it's like, man, not that I even wanted the money, but it was like, I needed the money. Like that was a hard time, dude. Those first 2 years were rough, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there were successes, but there was a lot of like, what the hell am I doing?
How many times did you say you were going to quit or did that ever cross your mind at all?
The quitting never did, but it was more just like, did I make a mistake?
Yeah. What am I doing?
Did I like drive 2,800 miles to just blow all of my savings and have my dad come pick me up with a U-Haul? Is that what life is now? Did I do this to myself? I could have stayed in Watertown and like done something like pretty solid and cushy and easy to do.
Yeah.
But it's all been working out. And you know, I mean, you don't know what the future holds and there is no guarantee even for next year, but, I feel like I've got a good enough foothold now. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, man. It's a grind. Like you said, like we've been saying, it's a constant grind, especially, you know, and just keeping your mind right is the main thing, you know, and even when it's tough, you gotta keep your mind right.
Dude, constantly like speaking it to fruition and like self-motivation and just the little things, like I said, self-care, dude, like whatever it is, like whatever your beach is, you know, like the Corona commercials, like go find your beach, dude, and go do whatever you got to do to reset, because that's the stuff that'll keep you insane, you know, keep you sane for the long run.
Yeah. Especially working from your house, you have to develop a schedule and adhere to that schedule and be like, all right, I'm going to work from these hours, like I'm going to work out. You really got to plan your schedule where, you know, I think a lot of people fail in that aspect is they say, all right, I'm going to get to work now. And they go, all right, look, first I'll do the dishes. And then, oh, I got a vacuum. Look at all the carpet. And, you know, so they just keep doing everything else other than focusing on what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm really good about that, actually. And like, I've got to shout out Susie, my wife. I mean, she's put up with a lot of, you know, just lonely nights, I guess you could call it, me up in the office and her doing whatever she's doing downstairs and, you know, cause I'm working and like, she's letting me do this stuff. And like a lot of the travel gigs, like I've been to Cancun a few times and she hasn't, you know what I mean? Like I'm doing this stuff and I'm going, and a lot of it she could probably go, but it's difficult to make happen, you know?
Yeah. And so she's there for work. So it's hard.
Well, she's letting me do this stuff, you know, and she's letting me go and produce. And like, she never quit on me ever. All the times where like I was broke and not making it, don't worry, you got it next month. Keep doing what you're doing. She's
dude,
like,
that's so important.
Family.
Yeah.
And that's super important. So I've got to, I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention how big of a part that she
is. No, you can't mention her. No.
No. I mean, well, dude, like, I'm just kidding. Oh my God. Like just the fact of like the faith that she has and like letting me do it. I'm like, dude, she was okay with coming out here with no plan. Yeah. I mean, let that marinate a little bit. You know what I mean?
Not many people will just follow you like that, man.
My wife, man. So, Susie, like I literally, like I'm doing a lot of the physical work and like the editing and stuff, but like, she's just as big a part of this as I am, you know, and I have no problem saying that.
Yeah, exactly. You need that support system. You need that person to raise you up, especially when you're down and you're feeling beat up and it's not going to work. And why the heck did I do this? You need to have that.
Or the marriage fails because somebody doesn't understand or like they don't get your ambition. It's like, I have enough ambition for two people, dude. Yeah. You know, it's like, I am just go, go, go. Like if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. Like I'm talking about like starting my own skateboarding event because I want to make sure that I continue to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I can't get hired. I might as well do my own.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
So that's what I, you know, there's little things that I'm working on where it's like, if you don't understand that mentality, it's like kind of overwhelming probably, you know? And it's like, I got to do what I got to do. You know, like this thing's going, like I'm too committed now at this point. You know, we got a new arena coming in. There's things that I'm involved with where it's like, I can't pull the plug now. Like I got to see this thing out.
Yeah. So you're doing a lot of corporate stuff now, a lot of Zoom stuff. Do you have any gigs in the foreseeable future that are live, you know, any sports stuff that's actually live?
Yeah. So, CC Tigers, women's hockey, which is Division 1, they are supposed to come back, actually on my anniversary on the 26th of September. Okay. So that's good. They should have already started those. I mean, their season should have started, I guess, actually this week, first week of August.
Are they limiting crowds or how are they kind of going about that?
I think well, again, a necessary evil is going to be like, well, now we need to stream it. Now we need to stream every game, you know, especially like a lot of the high schools where it's like, it's going to be completely crowd free for the most part is what I'm hearing, especially like upstate New York.
So this is your time to shine, dude. This is what you've been preparing for.
Well, you know, I guess in a way, yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm like a necessary evil. That's the term that I keep getting tossed to me where it's like, yeah you're a necessary evil. I'll take that.
Once I think they see what you can bring to the table with the you know, the ad revenue, stuff like that, like the sponsors, all that, you know, and that's something that they never even, they see it as mostly an expense, but if you can make it, you know, profitable for them, like, boom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it really comes down to having quality product. Like nobody wants to buy a $5 live stream if it looks like crap or it's like a one camera stream. So it's like it's a balance of like, you know, it's going to cost X amount of dollars to produce a good game. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, you have to do a good game to like sell tickets.
Yeah.
And you have to sell tickets to make money to like cover the cost. You know, it's like this vicious circle where it's like at some point investment needs to be made. That's like the bottom line. Or it's like if you don't have any money to like invest in a good quality production or like figure it out some way. I mean, cheap. You know, there's definitely cheap ways to do it, but you still got to figure it out and make it good enough to have people. And people are so used to the Amazon mentality of like free, ultra cheap, now, change when I want, on demand, you know, it's like, you can't accommodate all of that. You know, it's like, I'm not Amazon. I can't just like flip the switch and like do all this stuff. And like, you know, so, I mean, it's the mentality of people is different and like how they're consuming content is different, you know, like the scrolling through Facebook thing. It's like, you might get 5 seconds tops to grab somebody's attention.
Yeah.
It's like,
and that's even pushing it. You know what I mean?
You know, like, it's super difficult, man. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it really does take like a lot of marketing, and the right event I think is important. You know, like you see certain events that do really well with pay-per-view, and it's like MMA and boxing, and like those events will sell $50 tickets all day. Mm-hmm. Why is that? And I think that's the question that like more event planners need to figure out is like, what are they doing? Is it just because it's like once every 3 months? You know, like why is it so people will pay so much money? Because people do. Those UFC fights, people will pay a good amount of money to get it. So I think there's definitely some things, and like, I've always been a believer in free. I think you get the advertisers to pay the money and you just open it up and you put it out there.
I think
you base, you know, the advertisement revenue on like your previous success. So if you don't have any previous success, you're probably wondering, well, how do I get somebody to buy if it's my first event? Faith. You know, that's where a good salesman comes in. It's like, you need to sell them on why it's a good idea.
Yeah. Hey, we have this many tickets sold. This many people are going to be at the event. You know what?
This is the first time, you know, it's like, you can't guarantee views. You can't guarantee X amount. You can't sell so many widgets because you saw like a commercial. You can't guarantee those numbers.
Yeah.
So you gotta have a little bit of faith on that first event, which is a definite struggle for me. I mean, there's a lot of times where I get a client that's like, oh, it's a great idea. We'd love to do it, but we have no money. And, you know, how can we make this happen where it's like never been done before and things like that, where it's like valid concerns. And that's, you know, that's just part of the gig. And like, when you sell it to them, you know, either you sell it to them or you change your approach, you know, and you do something different. You know, that's all you can really do.
So do you find you adapting a lot to from what you initially pitched to what you end up putting out there?
I mean, I'm finding now that I'm getting approached. I'm finding now people are calling me. They're saying, hey, we have an event. You know, or hey, we need a video produced. Where it's like, when I first got here, it was constantly me like begging for work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
word of mouth typically or what?
I mean, no. I mean, I don't have I guess technically word of mouth because I don't have any advertising dollars. I don't have any commercials running. Like, it's all anything through Facebook or social media. And then now with this last event, like, I've been getting some major, major plugs through the SBDC. I mean, she's the Small Business Development Center.
Okay. Gotcha.
Of the Pikes Peak region. So, I mean, that carries some weight when she's like, he's my guy, you know? So I just did this event with, you know, a lot of business owners and a lot of different people, and they're all looking at it like, well, who produced it?
Yeah.
So this last event really got me some good FaceTime.
That's a little nugget too, right there, is to join, you know, you're either Chamber of Commerce or Small Business Development Center, something like that. Get involved in your community.
It's, oh, dude.
You know, that's huge. And a lot of people don't do that. You'd be surprised how many people don't get involved with either like their Chamber of Commerce or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, when I first came here, like, when I wasn't looking for work, I was doing network events and like signing up for like business counseling. Yeah. And I was like, if I'm not working, I'm going to be spending my time on stuff that's work related.
Yeah.
So I was going to networking events, like networking breakfasts and like all those little stupid things that you like get emails for. You're like, I'm not going to that. Yeah. I was going to. I was like, yes, man. When I first moved here, it's like, I will do anything and everything to make this thing happen.
Yep.
Like, and that is really the drive you have to have.
Because you weren't going to make anything from the couch. You know,
you're not. Well, dude, it's like you come out here with X amount of dollars and like every month you're just watching it dwindle and like drain, and you're like, I only have 3 months left. It's like, if it doesn't happen the next 3 months, you know, and like, that's a very real realization to have, where it's like, I only have X amount of dollars and my wife can only make so much money, you know what I mean? Yeah. And she can only support us so much, you know what I mean, as one person. You really just gotta like hammer it, and just like I said, do what you're good at and focus on that.
Being targeted, being specific with what you're looking for and who you're going after, and emails and phone numbers, dude, gold mine.
man, I sent so many, and like for every 10 you send, you might get like one that's interested, you know what I mean? It's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of just like no's and no responses, and it's crap. I mean, it sucks. There's no way to put it other than that. It's just, you know, it's part of it. Eventually, hopefully I don't have to have myself doing it. Maybe I can have somebody doing that for me. That'd be great. I mean,
Yeah, that dude, that'd help you probably a lot to have somebody looking for gigs for you.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, because I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's funny. Someday.
Now, do you use like MailChimp or something, or use it? Are you mailing out? Do you go after a specific business? Like, all right, I see this. I mean, you were saying earlier you see like events and stuff, so you're going kind of targeted, but do you have an email list that you're working with at all?
No, I, as much as I know, harnessing email address, like I've been terrible about that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have I have like a little newsletter thing that I, need to work on more. You know, I need to do better at that. So everything that I do is like the old fashioned way. It's like I'm writing a personal email to every single person that I email. It isn't like a template. It's,
dude, like that probably works better than using a template, honestly. You know what I mean? It's more,
I mean, there,
more
personal. There's certain things that I like, I'll drag in that might be like repetitious, but it's like, for the most part, I'm really looking at like, hey, I see you run a, you know, a football team or a boxing gym, or like, you know, these are the reasons why, like, I think I can benefit you. And it's always about like, you know, you shouldn't pay for this. Just help me sell this. You know, like you already have like people spending money at your place. And, you know, so I think that's a big part of it too, is like just helping the client kind of realize like you're more capable than you might think. And you have more at your disposal than you might think, especially like if you already have events and you're already doing things that are successful. It's like, well, you already got advertisement dollars coming in. Like it's an easy sell to just be like, hey, we're streaming at this event. Like throw us a little bit extra money, we'll run your commercials. And, you know, so, yeah, the personal email is just like making sure like when you look at a business and how you're approaching that, like, you know, using names and just being super professional and just not like a robot professional, because actually, I mean, as of late, you know, this last event, I was working with some pretty, you know, I guess you could, big wigs, you could call them. I mean, they're definitely prominent figures in the community.
Yeah.
But I'm telling them no. And, you know, like I really, really push for certain things and, you know, like put my foot down. And some of these people aren't used to that. You know, they're like the president of a bank where it's like, well, nobody tells me no. And it's like, well,
you're like,
I have to have this certain, you know? So, I mean, there's definitely times where recently it's like, and they appreciated it.
Yeah.
And so it's something that I've always been kind of leery of, where it's like, yes, man, yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. However you want. Not always the case. I think there's definitely times where you need to do it the right way, approach it the right way. But I think just, you know, with these emails and like just how you're approaching people through email, it goes a real long way. Like people will definitely take offense to like you throwing caps, for example. Like if you just, you know, like people act like you yelled at them and they're like literally take it personally. So there's things you have to be careful of, especially, I mean, not just in the corporate world, but just in the business world in general. As people are emailing more, it's like, I'm like emailing more than I'm even texting or calling. It's kind of a scary thing where it's like, I'd rather just like call and hammer it out over 5 minutes of the phone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of like 2 days of emails.
I know.
So you have to just be that much more careful because that's all you have. And like, once you hit send, like I was just telling Susie this, like I'm constantly like typing them without anybody in the address thing.
Yeah.
That way you can't send it out on accident. Cause like, oh my God, I've done that in the past where it's like, dude, like what did I just send? You're like looking in your send box, like how bad was it? Like damage report, you know, like, holy crap. Like, am I done? Am I toast? Like, was I venting?
Well,
like, sometimes you get those vent emails where somebody, like they send you something, you're like, this asshole. And you're like, you're like typing it so mad. And then you're like deleting quickly. And like you hit send, you're like, dude, I'm done.
That's too funny.
So yeah, that's happened a few times where it's like, after the third time, you're like, I think I need to quit doing this. So no longer am I putting addresses in my send.
I'll usually type them like in
the notes. I haven't had many of those emails recently. Luckily, all my people have been really good to me. So I haven't had to worry about it. But yeah, it's a good, yeah, if you're listening and you're wondering, that's a good little tip for you.
Are you coming up here soon?
Dude, I am. We need to link up.
I saw the message.
Yeah, I don't know if any like places are open or like what the deal is. I'm bringing some masks, so I don't know. I'll be like COVID regulatory, you know. So,
yeah, there's places up open. Yeah, there's restaurants open. You just gotta wear your mask in, and then once you get to the table, you take it off. And
I mean, I feel like beer pong is probably the safest thing we could probably do. I mean,
so.
It's 6 feet. Yeah, I mean, so maybe beer pong. We should throw back.
What I think, what I'd like to do is we'll take a shot, but you don't swallow it. And you got to push it to person to person. There's two teams, like a row of five people on each team. God. And you got to spit it into each other's mouth. And then whoever has the most liquor left, you spit it into the shot glass. And whoever has the most liquor wins. And then if you get COVID, that's just a plus.
The bonus? Yeah,
yeah, that's a bonus.
I feel like that's something that would be done in like the Marines or something, yeah, where it's like,
it'd be
like a rite of passage. Yeah, probably.
Any excuse to kiss each other.
He said it wasn't me.
Shout out to Travis Strope, my Navy friend.
Oh, man, that's funny. That's gnarly. Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to hang with those boys, man.
Yeah.
If anything remotely close to that happens, oh my God. Not even in my prime. I'm like so far from my prime. I don't know if
I know,
how old,
right?
You're like 30 something now.
32.
Dude, I'm feeling these 30s, man. Like,
I know.
I don't know. Like, I hit 30 and it went so far downhill, and I'm afraid. Like, I'm literally afraid of, like, if I feel like this at 33, what is 60 gonna be? I see some people out there where they're like partying still, and I'm like, dude, like, I'm like 9:30 hits, and I'm like, oh man, it's kind of late. Like, I'm like, oh dude, like, I'm like watching my dad and like his friends out there. It's like midnight. I'm like, oh my God, I'm screwed. There's no way I'm doing that in 30 years. Like,
your dad's out partying.
This is like the prime of my life. This is what people are telling me. 30 is the new 20. Jay-Z lied. It's not true. Not true.
Oh, that's funny, dude.
I am not so hot still.
Well, yeah, we definitely have to link up when you get down, when you come up here. That'll be
yeah, I'll be there the 20th through the 31st. So definitely link up.
Yeah, man. Hey guys, definitely check out Steve Weed Media, STEVEWEED media.com. You on Instagram, Facebook, all that?
Yeah, it's all at Steve Weed Media. It's all pretty easy. Give me a like. We're almost 1,000 likes on Facebook. I'd like to hit that 1,000 like marker at some point. So
like
now, please.
How many do you need for 1,000?
Like 150-ish.
Hey, we need 150 people to go on there and click like, damn it.
I mean, 137 likes. It just doesn't have the same visual appeal as 1,000. I mean, just 837 just isn't cutting it.
That's true. And then what was the guy who does the vinyl things?
Oh, yeah, Records by Monkey. His name's Pat Chirico, but you can call him Monkey. Records by Monkey. Look him up, dude.
W?
If you're into any like cool art, yeah, it's like Records with a W in front of the R.
Okay, Record. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Records, yep.
Monkey.
So, yeah, he's out of Brooklyn, but he's a homegrown upstate New Yorker, went to WHS. If you're in the upstate area and you're looking for some cool local stuff, definitely check him out.
And if you're in Colorado and you need some live stream, hey, hit up Steve Weed Media, guys. He's going to go above and beyond. I've used him before at my events. Like, no one works harder than him at making sure that your event's going to kick off right. And, you know, the preparation beforehand, the meetings beforehand, goes over everything, getting, you know, making sure you know what ad space you're going to have. It's so detailed. It's crazy. So definitely look him up for any live streaming needs, guys.
Definitely appreciate the shout out, man. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, bro. Fuck yeah. But you got anything else, man? I usually try to keep it about an hour.
We're right. We're actually a few minutes over. I appreciate the time. Honestly, I never get a chance to like talk about myself this long. So yeah. I probably rambled a lot more than I probably should or would want to do. But I just appreciate the opportunity.
We need voices on air, bro.
Hey, anytime you want me to ramble, I mean, maybe next time we can discuss more of the Duckett dialogue and I can just be a back and forth entity on the podcast. But
no, you're good,
I appreciate,
man,
you letting me like talk about myself and get it out there. So thanks, man.
Yeah, bro. Again, Steve Weed Media, check him out. I'm going to hit stop here. And as always, duck off, duckers.